I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And as you read the Bible, a little bit more here for me in the A's. As you read the Bible, it's very clear, church, that God has called us to live a life of peace. In Romans 12, verse number 18, look at it with me. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, and what's the next two words? That's the name of the message tonight. Live peaceably with all men. Flip over to chapter 14. Look at verse 19. Chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for what? Peace. And things wherewith one may edify another. Did you know that God is deeply interested in peace? We see that truth evidenced from Genesis to Revelation. In your handout, I want you to consider a few facts. Number one, peace is part of God's very character. Peace is part of God's very character. Go over to Romans 15, Romans chapter 15. And look at verse 33. You tell me as you read that verse, what is God called in that verse? Say it with me real loud. He is the God of peace. The God of peace. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. What is He called? The God of peace. It's part of His character. Look at the next book, 1 Corinthians 14. Turn real quickly there. 1 Corinthians 14, the very next book to the right. 1 Corinthians 14:33. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of what? Confusion, but He is the author of what? Peace. As in all churches of the saints. 2 Corinthians, go there, 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Second Corinthians 13, 11, the very last chapter there. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, and what's the next three words? Live in peace, notice, and the God of love and what? Peace shall be with you. Isn't that good? Go to the right a couple of books through Galatians and Ephesians to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, Paul said, and seen in me do, and the God of, notice how it's part of his character here. It says, the God of what? Peace shall be with you. Can anybody tell me in Isaiah 9:6, what's Jesus referred to? One of Jesus' names is he's called the Prince of Peace. Peace is part of God's very character. Number two, peace is one of the great blessings that God gives to those who follow Him. Peace is one of the great blessings that God gives to those who follow Him. If you would, we're going to look at some verses on the screen to save time, because I don't have a lot of time tonight, but I got a lot of verses I want you to see. Look at Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength unto His people. He tells Israel, the Lord will bless His people with what? Peace. On the screen, Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they which love thy law, he told Israel. Nothing shall offend them. Let's go to the next one. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, Paul said, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace is one of the great blessings that God gives to those who follow Him. Number three, God repeatedly commands His people to seek and to pursue what? Peace. Look at the screen. Psalm 34:14. Depart from evil and do good. And everybody say the next two words. Seek peace and pursue it. Of course, we read earlier Romans 12:18, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 14:19, follow after the things which make for peace. 2 Corinthians 13:11, we read it a few minutes ago, live at peace, he said. You're in Philippians. Go to, I think I have it on the screen here. Yeah, go to Colossians chapter 3, the next book to the right. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God, what? Rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called. Look at the screen. Let's bring it up. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And then notice the command, be at peace among yourselves, tells the church. Look at the screen, Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace. Say that with me. Follow peace with all men. Say that again. Follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. In your handout, it says nearly all of the New Testament epistles either begin or end with a prayer for peace. An example of that, do we have it on the screen here? Romans 1:7. Look at this. Paul said at the beginning of the book, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then at the end of the book, let's go to the next one, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Are y'all starting to see something here? Are you beginning to see that our God is a God of peace? It's part of His character. It's a blessing. It's one of the blessings He gives to those who follow Him. He commands us to seek peace and pursue it. God taught His people Israel to use the word peace as a standard form of greeting, wishing one another well in parting. It's kind of interesting. Those of you who have ever been an actor and walked through Bethlehem, what do we say to people? Shalom. What does that mean? Peace. Peace. Nothing to me reveals God's concern for peace more vividly than God's decision to send His beloved Son to this earth. As the supreme peacemaker, Jesus sacrificed His life on the cross so that we could experience peace both now and forever. And that's what we're here to celebrate tonight, is the fact that God sent His Son so that we could have peace. I'm going to tell you this, without the Lord's shed blood, without His body given on that cross, we would have no hope at peace. Amen? There are three dimensions to the peace that God offers to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are three dimensions to the peace that God offers. Number one is peace with God. Number two is peace with one another. Number three is peace within ourselves. Now, don't write that in yet. We're going to go through these one by one. But a lot of people are longing for peace internally. But you know what the problem is? They care very little about peace with God or peace with others. And as we see, it's impossible. You're not going to have internal peace until you're at peace with God and peace with each other. Let's look at the three dimensions. Number one is peace with God. That's the first dimension to the peace that God offers. Our God is a God of peace. And the first thing here He offers is peace with God, peace with Himself. Now, does peace come automatically with God? Yes or no? No. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have been alienated from God by wicked works, Colossians says. As a result, we deserve eternal separation from God, for the wages of sin is death. As a result of our sin, we are by nature the children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3 says. We're the children of the devil by nature. But the good news is that by His sacrifice on the cross, Jesus made it possible for all the enemies of God in the world to be made at peace with God. Look at the screen, Colossians 1, 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made what? Peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Look in your handout, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, I love this verse. We have what? Peace with God. Say that with me. Peace with God. How do we get it? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. This right here that we're here to celebrate, that's how you get peace with God. Not through those elements, I mean through what they represent. Through Jesus Christ and what He did. That's how we have peace with God. Peace with God only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. When we believe that Christ paid the full penalty for our sins when He died on that cross, when we trust Him to save us from our sins, we are instantaneously made at peace with God. Would you turn back with me a couple books to Ephesians chapter 2? Just go backwards a couple books. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 12, it shows how alienated we are. Verse 12, Ephesians 2:12. He says that at that time, ye Gentiles, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made what? Nigh. You've been made near to God by the blood of Christ. For, look at verse 14, for He, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both Jew and Gentile one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So the first dimension to the peace that God offers through Christ is peace with Himself, peace with God. But number two, there's another dimension to this, and that's peace with others. God's plan is not for the Christian life to be marked by strife. God, now listen to me. I know a lot of Christians think that it is. You know, you see a lot of pastors out there and churches out there and Christians out there. All they want to do is fight among themselves. All they want to do is you know, pick a good fight with somebody. But listen, God's plan is not for the Christian life to be marked by strife, by contention, and by discord. In fact, let me just say this. God's plan is not only that we not fight among ourselves, but did you know God, He really doesn't want you fighting with lost people. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We're wrestling Satan. Now, you say, well, you mean God doesn't want me fighting lost people? Absolutely not. That's why in 1 Timothy 2, he said, I exhort that you supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There's a lot of Christians out there, they don't think they're a good Christian unless they got somebody mad at them. But I want you to know that's not the plan. Now, sometimes the cross is an offense. And sometimes as we live out our Christian life, sometimes that'll just what we stand for will be an offense to people. And will offend me. But you know what? May they be offended by our position, not our disposition. Because God's plan isn't for you to go out and anger the city council and anger the leaders in the city and anger the mayor and anger everybody in the community and go out and just go out and in the community and make everybody mad. God says, no, I want you praying. I want you seeking God. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In your handout, it says, through Christ's sacrifice, the way has been opened to enjoy peace with other people. Go back, you're in Ephesians 2, right? All right, look at verse 14. He says, for He is our peace, who hath made both one. So Jews and Gentiles have been made one. He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us. having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained ordinances, for to make in himself, in Christ, of twain, of two, Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached what? Peace. Do y'all see that? And came and preached what? Peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Talking about the Gentiles and Israel. For through him, through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. The peace that we're talking about here with other people is sometimes referred to as unity. Unity. Unity is not simply the absence of conflict and strife. You know, if me and Pastor Rob, maybe we got a problem with each other and we don't talk. We don't ever argue. We don't ever fuss. We're never mean or hateful to each other. We just don't talk to each other at all. I see him in the hallway and I duck. I see him in Publix and I duck, you know. Or if I have to face him, it's quick and I'm on my way. Is that unity, yes or no? No. Just because we're not being hateful, that doesn't mean we're at peace. That doesn't mean, you know, if me and Paul Peacock, if we get angry at each other, say he gets mad at me, I don't even know it. He gets upset with me, and Paul's ducking me, and Paul's avoiding me, and Paul, you know, we're not speaking angry words to each other, but yet there's not that. You know what unity is? Unity isn't just that me and Paul have conflict. It's not that the absence of conflict and strife. If me and Paul Peacock are in unity, that means there's genuine harmony, understanding, and goodwill towards each other. In your handout, it says God commands us to do all that we possibly can to be at peace with others and to dwell in unity with them. In your handout, Romans 12:18, would you look at it in your hand, if you'll turn the page there, Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with who? All men. Look at the next one, Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring, look at that. That's you giving it all you got. You're giving it all you got. You are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We're to be proactive, it says in your handout, in seeking peace, not just waiting for it to come to us. Depart from evil, Psalm 34:14. Depart from evil, do good, and what's the next phrase there? Seek peace. And what? You track it down like a hound dog. You're seeking down, you are pursuing peace with other people. Now that kind of peace only comes as we obey the great commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. And then you know what comes? The last one, peace within yourself. Peace within yourself. Through Christ, we can experience genuine peace within ourselves. In your handout, look at this statement. Internal peace is a sense of wholeness. Think about this. Contentment, tranquility, order, rest, and security. That's what it means to have internal peace. Everybody wants that kind of peace, but it eludes most people. Why? Because in your handout, it says, because in order for us to enjoy internal peace in our hearts, it is predicated on you being at peace with God and being at peace with others. Now go to the next book, Philippians. Right after Ephesians is Philippians, chapter 4. And notice here, Philippians 4, there were some ladies in the church that were at odds with each other. Paul says in verse 1, Philippians 4, 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntech that they be of the same mind in the Lord. These were obviously two ladies in the church that were at odds. He said, I beg you, be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. And so he says, you know what? There's some contention there. Paul's, you know what Paul's advice is? Get it right. Get it right. Get it right. So there's that peace with others. Then he encourages them as saints in Christ to commune with the Lord. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's that communion with Him. Now look at verse 7. And the, as they commune in unity with each other, and as they commune in unity with the Lord, what's the promise in verse 7? What's the promise? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's that internal peace. In other words, it is impossible to experience internal peace. You're gonna have that unrest in your heart and soul unless you pursue peace with God and peace with others. In your handout, it says the three dimensions of peace are inseparably joined by God's design. So if I want internal peace, I have to seek harmonious relationships with God and with those around me. Do y'all remember, go to the next book there, Colossians chapter 3. And y'all remember in our study here, we've been in Colossians 3, we're going verse by verse. And you remember here in chapter 3, how he talks about their position in Christ, verse 10, you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. And he talks about their position in Christ, verse 12, how they're elect of God, holy and beloved. But then he talks about their Christ-like partnership with each other, verse 12. He tells them to put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now look up here. He talks about their position in Christ. You've put on the new man. That's that peace with God. Then he says, now be at peace with each other. Put on forgiveness and forbearance and mercy and kindness and humbleness. So be at peace with yourselves. But then look at the result. Look at verse 15. What happens? Let the what? There it is. That peace of God rules your heart. All three aspects of peace are linked together. If I'm at enmity with God, I'm not going to have the peace of God. If I'm at enmity with Brother Paul, or if I'm at enmity over here with Brother Al, or I'm at enmity with Pastor Rich, you know what? Then if I'm at enmity with others, then I forfeit that internal peace in my heart. The peace of God will elude me. It will escape me. Not that I won't have a happy moment, here or there, but I'm not going to have that real peace of God anchoring my heart until I get it right. I want to share something with you, very personal. Several years ago, there was a lot of unresolved conflict within my wife's family. And this went on for several years. And it really grieved our heart. But we felt like there's nothing we could do about it. We felt like this isn't of our making. And God, you'll just have to resolve it in your time. We're just going to leave it with you. And as time went by, it wasn't resolved. And I became increasingly bothered by that conflict. And it wasn't that there was angry words or hostile words being exchanged. There was just really no words being exchanged. There was an absence of harmony, an absence of peace, an absence of fellowship, goodwill. Because I was lacking peace with others, I lacked an internal peace that I had to come to grips with. I knew that the unresolved conflict was a poor testimony to the cause of Jesus Christ. And I knew in my heart it had to be resolved. And I'll be honest with you. The closest I've ever come in 17 or 18 years of resigning in this church was during that time period. Because I felt like, God, if you can't resolve this, then this is a bad testimony. I don't even need to be here in leadership. If I can't resolve conflict, then how can I be a leader? I could not continue on the way things were. So I prayed for peace. But my attitude was, God, you're going to have to change them. You know, you're going to have to change them. God, I want peace, but you're going to have to change them. Can I share something with you from my heart? Instead of God doing that, instead of God changing them, God decided to change me and change my attitudes. And He changed my wife and her attitudes. And once we truly desired peace with all of our heart, we really wanted peace. You know, God began showing us areas where we were wrong. And we began to see, you know, this conflict, it's not even over biblical issues. It's issues of pride. It's issues of hurt. So we decided we're going to put away all pride. And we're going to go to them. And we're going to confess where we were wrong. Did we think they were wrong? Absolutely. We thought there were areas where they were wrong, but that wasn't a concern to me. I can honestly say I wanted peace so bad, I couldn't care less about it. God gave me the grace to deal with it and say, it doesn't even matter. Their heart, their attitude doesn't matter one bit. All that matters is that I confess where I'm wrong, and that's enough for me. And I proactively sought peace like the Bible commands me to do. God honored that, and the entire family was reconciled. And when I did that, see, I already had peace with God. Now I had peace with others. And guess what that meant for me? Internal peace was restored. Their reaction and response, honestly, it didn't matter to me. I didn't care. All I wanted to do was get my heart right. And from that day forward, I carried no animosity, no ill will, no hard feelings, because I knew God gave me the grace to put that away, face the cross and put it away. And I didn't need an apology. I didn't need a confession from them. All I needed was my heart to be right. And I knew that some of my responses weren't right. And some of the ways I respond weren't right. I think I was totally to blame. Not at all. But their issues didn't matter to me anymore. All that mattered was my heart. Conflict is inevitable in life. Conflict in marriage, conflict in your family, conflict at work, conflict with friends, conflict at church. Conflict is inevitable. But God says, seek peace and pursue it. And you know what hit me? God, I'm just going to leave it with you. And God said, not audibly, but it was as if God said, you can leave it with me all you want to, partner, but I'm not doing anything. That's just a religious way of trying to just pawn off any responsibility. I'm just going to leave it with you. No, nope. God said, no, you're not. You're not going to have any peace till you deal with it. You need to man up and deal with it yourself. And boy, I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I did. And I wanted to share that with you tonight. And as we approach the Lord's Supper, one of Paul's desires was that whenever the Lord's Supper would be observed, it would not only be a time of communion with the Lord, but it would be a time to be at peace among yourselves and put aside grievances and do what it takes to be in unity with each other. Whatever it takes, endeavor to keep the unity.